It's good to be with you. I'm glad that you are here. Thankful for your presence. Encourage you to take your Bibles out and follow along. Hopefully what we have prepared to say will benefit those of us who have assembled here today. It's been a couple of months since I've last seen you, and I'm glad that you are doing well for the most part, and always good to be with you. I want you to know that. As I came in this morning, I had a sister hand me two containers of fudge. Am I looking a little skinny to you? And I appreciate that. I appreciate it very much. Now, put it on the back table. That brother is sitting there. I'm trusting him. All right? He said he would guard it. Ed said, if you get hungry, if I go too long, go ahead. Take a few bites of that. Now, I have a couple of doctor's appointments coming up this year. See my cardiologist at the end of the month for my annual checkup. He's going to ask me, you been taking your blood pressure? Been walking? I'm going to say, no, but I've been eating fudge. And I can only imagine what he's going to say to me. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Ladies and gentlemen, without question, the primary mission of the Lord's body is to take the gospel into all the world and preach it and teach it, to make disciples of those who will listen to the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 of that chapter, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And so we see from that passage that our primary function, our primary mission is to teach the gospel. Our mission should be the same as the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. And so our primary concern as the Lord's people is to take that message into a lost and dying world and to teach that message and to make disciples. Now, ladies and gentlemen, once those disciples have been made, our obligation does not stop there. Notice that a second part of that Great Commission involves us to continue to teach. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but he didn't stop there. He said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so we as disciples of Christ, we as the body of Christ, once we have made disciples, once we have those who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we are obligated to what? To further instruct them. To further teach them. The old time gospel preacher used to say that one of our problems as the Lord's body is that we go out and we receive this harvest, we have those who obey the gospel, and then we left the sheaves rot in the barn. And you know, there's an element of truth to that. There's a lot to say for that statement. In other words, there's a lot of truth in that statement. Sometimes what happens is that we make disciples, we have those who become children of God, and then we forget about them. But the Lord said, don't do that. It's good that you're making disciples, and we need to make disciples. Now you need to what? You need to further instruct them. You make disciples, you baptize them, and then you teach them. Teach them to what? Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Observe. That's an interesting word. It means to pay strict attention to all the things that Christ has commanded. And so here you have this individual whose heart was receptive to the gospel. They've obeyed that gospel. They've been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. They've risen up out of that watery grave of baptism. Now a new creature in Christ. What is my obligation toward them at that point? My obligation is to further instruct them to what? To pay strict attention to all the things that Christ has commanded. My obligation does not end back here. No, I need to continue to what? To instruct. All right? But here's something else to think about here, and here's really where the thrust of our lesson is going to take us this morning, and that is this. Once that individual has received the gospel of Christ and has become a child of God, they now are obligated to what? They are obligated to grow or mature as a Christian. Now, what we see in the New Testament, we see both of those taking place, both those things taking place. In other words, we see the apostles, after they've gone into all the world, or as they're going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, we see them further instructing those disciples. In Acts chapter 2, for example, in verse 42, we see that they continued whom? Who is? Those disciples. Those who gladly received the word. Those who were baptized, verse 41. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What's that doctrine? It's the things that the apostles taught. What were they teaching? They were teaching the things of Christ. Why does that surprise us? It should not. Because Jesus said, you teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses 12 and 13, we see Peter there putting the brethren in remembrance of certain things. Peter understood that he was obligated to do so. He was obligated to edify the brethren, to build them up. Turn with me now to Colossians chapter 1 and notice verse 27 of the chapter. Colossians chapter 1. Notice what Paul said to the church of Colossae in verse 27 and of that chapter. Notice that Paul said to them, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. And so we see them fulfilling that part of the Great Commission as well as going into all the world and making disciples. They further instructed. What was the goal? What's the purpose? It's to produce of those disciples mature Christians. Now, what those who become children of God need to understand is that it does not end here in your initial obedience to the gospel. Now you're obligated, to pay strict attention to further instruction are all of the things that Christ has commanded. Or in short, in other words, you are to grow as a Christian. Newborn Christians are to grow. We expect that of newborns, don't we? I see this little one here. There was another little one over here. All right. That's a good sound. Anyway. But you have these newborns. What do we expect the newborns to do? We expect them to grow. And we expect them to eventually grow into mature men and women, do we not? But it has to start somewhere. It has to begin somewhere. That newborn infant needs its mother's milk, does it not? And in the same line or same vein, newborn Christians are to desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow. In 1 Peter chapter 1, notice this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's begin there in verse 1 of chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 1, or excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 1. And I'll be there in just a moment. My pages are sticking together here. Notice what Peter records for us here. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may what? You may grow thereby. I've become a child of God. What's next? What's next for me in my relationship with Jesus? Well, I need to what? I need to grow. But it starts somewhere. Just as it starts with these little ones here, they desire their mother's milk. You desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. That's what you need. You need that nourishment. You need God's Word. You need the milk of God's Word that you may grow thereby. That word desire means to long for. It means to crave, does it not? I don't know too many newborns that do not crave to be fed. I remember the first, we had three. I've lost two out of the three, along with my wife. But I remember the firstborn one, and I remember bringing her home from the hospital. It went something like this. Every 5 minutes throughout the night, you're up checking on them, right? When the second one comes along, you did a little bit of that. By the time the third one comes along, you put them in the room, shut the door, and go to bed. Right? But I remember how she craved to be fed. She used to just climb over her mother's shoulder, seemed like. She wanted that milk. She desired it. She longed for it. She craved it. And for good reason, she needed it. She needed it. Now, as a newborn babe in Christ, because that's what we are when we initially obey the gospel, that's where we start. We're newborns, spiritually speaking. I need to desire, crave, long for that desire or that sincere milk of the word. For what purpose again? That I may grow thereby. Look what Peter says. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. What God wants is he wants you to grow. He doesn't want you to stay stagnant. He doesn't want you to stay still. He wants you to grow. Just as these mothers desire, and these fathers as well, these little ones to grow. And they do all that is necessary to ensure that they will achieve that goal of growth. And eventually, become a mature man or woman. That's what God wants for me spiritually. He wants me to grow. But it starts with the sincere milk of the Word. If you're in 1 Peter, come over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. See it again? But grow. What does God want? God wants us to grow. God wants us to mature. God does not want us to remain spiritual newborns forever. He does not want us to remain children forever, spiritually speaking. But he wants us to grow into that mature Christian. But grow, Peter said, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in what? Grow in God's grace. Grow in God's favor, which increases toward us as we advance as his children. And to grow in that knowledge, or to become better informed in the doctrine of Christ, That's why, again, we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They craved that knowledge. They wanted to know what the Lord had in store for them. They wanted to know what the Lord wanted them to do. And as newborn babes in Christ, that's what we should desire. In the pages of His Word, we find what He wants us to do as we grow toward that state of maturity. Christians are to make their calling and election sure. The brother read that for us this morning. How do we do that? Well, Peter said this: add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience brotherly kindness, or perseverance brotherly kindness love. For if these things are in you and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. The idea of barren there, as the New King James and the King James said, does not mean, as we sometimes think of it, without any fruit. It means you will not become a lazy Christian. You will be what God wants you to be. Vibrant. Full of energy and zeal for the Lord. Doing what the Lord wants you to do. Becoming what the Lord wants you to become. Remember what Paul told the Colossians? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what God wants. He wants us to mirror His Son. Become more like His Son. And we might ask the question, why? Well, the simple answer to that is this. We're not going to live in this world forever. We need to allow Him to groom us, to mold us, to shape us for the world to come. We've not experienced that world. How do we prepare for that world? We grow into mature Christians. Doing what God wants us to do, becoming what God wants us to become. So that when I depart from this life and I enter into that spiritual world, which someday I will, and I enter into that Hadean realm, I'll be prepared for that realm as well as what lies ahead. So I need to make that preparation. I do that by growing into a mature Christian here, becoming what God wants me to become. And so I add to my faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, brotherly kindness, love. So I don't become that lazy child of God. Furthermore, Peter goes on to say in the red verse 10, if you add these things to your faith and you grow, then you can make your calling and election sure. In other words, you will be a success as a Christian. Raise your hand if you want to be. Anybody want to be a failure in life? No, none of us want to fail, right? Well, we don't want to fail spiritually as well. And here's what Peter says. You will not fail spiritually if you what? Grow and add these things to your faith. But you need to grow. And need to add these things to your faith. And so, again, stop and think about it. We become a child of God. But again, I want to emphasize, it does not end there. It's just the beginning of your relationship with God. And what a tremendous relationship you've entered into. But it comes with responsibility. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. It's back a few pages here from Peter. Notice in this fifth chapter, I want to pick up the thought in verse 12. Notice here, the Hebrew writer says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who is partaker only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Here I am. I'm a babe in Christ. I'm partaking of that sincere milk of the word. That's where I need to be. But here's where eventually I want to be, and here's where God wants me. But he's going to give me time to grow. Notice that passage. "For by this time," see, he gave them time. God knows that we need time to grow, just as these little ones need time to grow. I mean, I didn't develop into this fine specimen of a human being overnight, right? Quit your laughing. It took time to reach this point, 74 years. And I don't know how many more is left. A whole lot less than what I started with, I know that. But spiritually speaking, it works the same way. You start here. Here's where God wants you. But he's going to give you time to reach that point. "For by this time, you are." By this time. But I will say this. Although he gives you this time, he does expect you to use it. And he expects you to go from point A to point B. Over here, you're desiring the sincere milk of the word. Over here, you're able to handle the solid food. Again, the analogy with the infants. They start out with milk. Eventually, you eat solid food. Same way, spiritually speaking. I start here. I should end up over here. Why? So I can discern between good and evil, right and wrong, unholiness and holiness, unrighteousness and righteousness. That's what God wants me to come to that point. But I have to put forth the effort to reach maturity. Now, I want to warn you, because the warning's here in that passage. This is what God wants. And this is what he expects, and this is what I should desire. But if I do not put forth the effort, and I do not strive to reach this point over here, there is a consequence to that. And I need to understand that. I don't want that consequence. And so I want to become what God wants me to become. Unquestionably, the Christian is to grow or mature. Now, for the next few moments, you listen patiently. It won't take too long to go through this because I have Fudge in the back and I don't want him to get antsy. What is involved in this growth process? What is my responsibility as a newborn to reach this state of maturity? How do I go from point A to point B? Well, we kind of indicated that. Peter did when he said, "Desire what? The sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Which means what? means I have to dive into this milk. I have to become familiar with this. Genesis through Revelation. This is what God has given me. God in this has revealed his mind to me. Words are vehicles of thought. They're the bridge that gaps minds. You don't know what I'm thinking unless I tell you. How do I do so through words. How do I know what God is thinking? He's told me. He's told me he wants me to grow. How do I do that? He's told me. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul told Timothy what? Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If there's any word of advice I can give you as a newborn Christian, it's this. You study to show yourself approved unto God. And along the way, you'll learn what? You'll learn how to handle God's word accurately and effectively. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I desire that sincere milk. I want that milk. I long for that. There's only one way I know to get it. It's not through osmosis. Now, I can't go to bed at night and put this under my pillow, and it just absorbs, you know, I just absorb it. Somebody said what the apostles got by inspiration, I must get by perspiration. And I must do that. So what I encourage you to do is every day you set aside some time throughout that day to study, become familiar with God's word. We all have schedules. We're all busy people. My schedule for the year is filled. I hope I live to see it. All right? I know how busy I see these young families. Look, I know. When I used to work for a living, I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and that was my study time. And that's when I did my study, because I knew when I came home from work, no way under the sun. Dad. You know what Mom did today? Dad. No, I'm not interested in what Mom did to you today. Okay, can we play? Busy, huh? Then you can get ready for work. So, you do what is necessary. That was my routine. That worked for me. It may not work for you. The interesting thing is I still wake up 4 o'clock in the morning. And I set that time aside. But you get into a routine. Study God's word, that you may grow thereby. Be concerned about the apostles' doctrine, as you read about in Acts 2, verse 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and for good reason. And then let me leave you with this. Once you find out what the Word of God is, and you become familiar with it, then make application of it. You grow that way as well. It does little good to know what this teaches and not follow through, not make application. Okay. Throughout my life, you know, I started out, I come out of the Navy, I went to trade school, I became a machinist, I have a little piece of paper, hangs on the wall that says I am one, and 4 years apprenticeship, 4 years of schooling. What good would it have done me to learn how to figure out those angles and some use little trigonometry and so on? speeds and feeds and metals and all that if I never made application of it? Wouldn't have helped me at all. And so I need to make application of God's word. We read that in Hebrews chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, blessed are they who do God's commandments. I must do God's commands. Come with me to Philippians chapter 4. And notice what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 9, notice Paul said, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. So the things that you learn, do. That's part of the growth process. And then we grow through trials and tribulation. Being a Christian sometimes is not always easy. You'll be faced. Look, just because you became a child of God does not mean Satan's going to sit down now and say, well, he's a child of God, I can't touch him. No. No. If Satan tempted the very Son of God, what makes us think he won't come after us? Fact of the matter is, he will. And he does. Because he wants you. He's got the world. He doesn't need them. He wants you. And so he'll come after you. And so you'll be faced with trials. But if you get through them with God's help and your brethren's help, it'll make you stronger. It's part of the growth process. Look at James chapter 1 with me just for a moment. And notice here in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You'll be mature, in other words. So this leads to maturity if I work through these things and I don't lose my faith in the process. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, who's driven and tossed by the wind. So God will help you, all right? See you through. It's not going to work some miracle in your life, or providential care and watchfulness, find the answer in the pages of his word. But here's something I find interesting in this passage. If you just come on down in the passage to verse 19, notice what it said. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Contextually, what's James dealing with? Now, I understand we use this a lot and we talk about anger and so forth, and it's good. We do no harm to the passage when we do. But here's what I think James is driving at. You're going through this, you ask God for wisdom, then pay attention when he talks to you through the pages of his word. Make application of it. Be swift to hear what God has to say. Slow to what? Speak. Don't talk back to God. How many times has somebody asked me, or maybe asked you, what does the Bible teach concerning this subject? Well, here's what it teaches. Oh, but I don't. What are we doing? We argue with God. And slow to anger. Don't get angry with God. You've asked him for this wisdom, then pay attention to it. Make application of it. Be swift to hear what he says. Don't get angry with him. Don't argue back with him. You know, as a child growing up, that may have been a hard lesson for me to learn, but I come to understand that's not the way to go. When mom and dad would instruct me, come to understand why they were instructing me. It wasn't always pleasant to follow through with their instruction. And by pleasant, I mean it wasn't always what I wanted. But I did learn that it was best for me. And that really came into play when I became a parent myself. So listen to what God said. He'll help you through, but trials are a part of this growth process. And then last of all, we can grow through following the example of strong, faithful Christians. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Philippians chapter 3. And here Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, said the following. In verse 17, he said this. He said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, what? I press toward the goal. Follow that example, Paul. Press toward the goal. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, you imitate me as I imitate Christ. There is a benefit to be derived from imitating those who are strong, mature, faithful Christians in the Lord. They didn't reach that overnight. They have all this experience behind them. They have the knowledge behind them. Do you ever wonder why God chose older folks to be elders in congregations and not the novice? I think it's a rhetorical question, isn't it? And so as a newborn babe, learn. I cannot tell you the wealth that comes from that. I am so thankful that I did that. I'm so thankful I sat at the feet of those gospel preachers long ago. When we would have gospel meetings, I always had gospel preachers in our house so that my children could sit at their feet and listen to their stories, listen to the advice, listen to the instruction. There's a benefit to that. Yes. I still like to do that. I still like to find those who are older than me, although it's becoming increasingly harder, and listen to them. I sit at Harold's feet. Oh, wait a minute. I guess I'm 10. But I just enjoyed that. Always have. And through the year, I've been thankful for that, and I've reaped the benefit of that. I just really have. And I advise you to do that. I advise you to do that. Listen to them. Listen to their experiences. Spiritual experiences as well as just the experiences they've gone through and just living life. Becoming a child of God is just the beginning of our relationship with God. Now, we are to grow and mature in Christ. We are to allow God to mold us, shape us for that spiritual world, a world that we've yet to experience. Do not take lightly your responsibility to grow in Christ. And if you have been doing so, that is, if you've been growing and maturing in Christ, continue to do so. If you haven't been, then start right now. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you are outside of Christ and would like to become a child of God's through him. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Then we are going to sing an invitation song. And we invite you to take advantage of this invitation. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repent of your sins, as he's asked you to do, confess your faith in him before this good audience, be baptized in water for remission of your sins. Begin that journey. Begin that relationship. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Eternal consequences are at stake. Or as a child of God, you've fallen away. We encourage you to come back to the fold of safety this morning by doing what God has asked you to do in order to be restored to that fold of safety and that relationship that you once enjoyed. So if you're subject to this invitation, anyway, we invite you to come as we stand.